These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo breakdown.
Good morning, students. I'm Lauren Davis.
Michelle Baber.
And we are here to recap episode 10 of season 6 of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. I think this is going to be a shorty episode because, you know what? I don't want to complain. I like positivity in our Housewives coverage. There's so much negativity out there in the fandom. But I will say, I think this is the first episode that was an exposition episode that felt like it a little bit. What did you think, Michelle?
I actually really liked it.
You did?
Yeah,
wow,
I
that's
actually
crazy.
Thought it was a great episode. Yes.
Really? It's like Andy's, Andy said it was one of his favorite episodes ever. And I was like, huh?
I liked it a lot.
Well, interesting. We'll both have different perspectives.
Episode this season. But yeah, I do think it's still really good TV.
Okay,
I wasn't
great.
Bored. I thought there was a lot going on.
I've got to say I was a little bored. But
you need more excitement than I do.
I like the overstimulation of Salt Lake City. You know, this was giving me more the tight choreography you get in an Orange County season. I think that's why I got a little burnt out on it. I'm glad the girls are flexing their muscles of like, everyone knows what the storylines are at all times. I've said I'm very supportive of that this season. But this went a little too, I could follow it too much. If that makes sense. Overcorrected. Okay, so let's get into the first scene. It's they're having a party for, of all people, Brittany.
Yeah, I thought you would have loved this because they're having a surprise potluck for Brittany because she's feeling sad because Meredith was mean to her on the plane. And I was like, oh, Lauren would love this scene because that's like your dream party. Just like people bringing food to your home and celebrating.
I do love a potluck. You know, I think like choreographed. I think it's like them really trying to take the notes from last season and be like, we don't want it to get too dark. So like something dark really happened. We're alleging that Meredith is like a drug-addled, abusive nightmare woman and that Lisa is her enabler. And so now let's have a happy light party where, you know, it's just fun and jokes. Yeah,
it can't be all like zazas all the time. I liked the potluck. Brittany was happy with it. I liked how it started with Heather getting there and Whitney saying like, "Does it smell in my house?" And Heather being like, "Yeah, it smells like poop." And she's like, "It's the broccoli." I opened the tray of vegetables and it's the broccoli.
But that is like, you know, the case with like vegetables in the microwave. It's always, it is like so party.
I liked it. I thought it was a sweet, sweet moment. It was also really funny. Like Brittany shows up. She's so happy. Everyone's being nice to her.
She's very touched. Yeah.
She's very touched. And then all of the women got her like the stupid bears and like unicorn thing that Jared got her. But everyone said like a different thing. And they're all sweet messages, except when it came to Mary's, it was just static.
Static, which you don't
and
hear static on any
you
of
don't
the
hear
others.
Static on anybody's bear. They don't do that at Build-A-Bear very often.
Had a candy wrapper.
Yeah. And then she's like, "Hey, Brittany's like, I didn't know what you said." And Mary's like, "I didn't say anything." Mm-hmm. And then Bronwyn trying to keep it positive.
Well, first of all, we find the reason that Mary didn't say anything is because another nugget of flashback footage that didn't even make the episode because they've been so chock full of nuts is that during one of the dinners at the cruise, Mary told Brittany, she was like, "Brittany, you're not cute and you're not cool." And then Brittany retorted with, "Mary, you are the least Christ-like person I've ever met in my life." And Mary She's not going to let that one. They're going to have to.
That's my whole thing.
Deal is that I am Christ. Christ speaks through my body, as we see later in
the
episode.
That's like my whole thing.
But she's putting it aside for the good of the show and also to, you know, create a united front.
She still gave her a bear.
And she still gave her a bear. Yeah. And she still even like a. You know, took the time to record a message, even if it was passive aggressive, like her going.
That's Christ-like to me. It sounds like the TV and Poltergeist, and that's what Mary was giving. Mm-hmm. But I also like how Bronwyn goes, well, it's better than saying something mean.
Yeah. Queen of low expectations.
I think you were just like, we're just so used to Salt Lake City being like a constant, like you feel like you're in a constant panic attack every time, but in a fun way. Or yeah, like it all feels like bipolar, like mania, but we're always on the upswing. So when it just feels kind of level, like I think it's hard to just be like, you know what? This is still like really funny.
It's sometimes the little things.
It's Mary giving you the bear without saying anything. It's the word she's not saying.
Yeah, like jazz.
This is jazz. This was the jazz episode, and that's harder for us with girls who have ADHD. But you know, we get it. It's influential.
I think it's important. It's important for the season too, and I really think that's what they're trying to do is have levels. You know,
and we just had so much on the boat, and like you know that we got so much. Like it's okay to have kind of like. A potluck.
Yeah, I just do think that, like, these episodes have, so far, even as standalones, been structured with such a momentum, right?
Wait, sorry, quick. Okay, Lauren, are your knees inside of your shirt right now?
Yes, sorry. Do I look like a dwarf on golf?
I'm, like, I could not tell what was happening.
Yeah, I'm, huddled. I generally say like this.
My huddled mass.
I'm a huddled mass. I'm a creature. A bulbous.
Well,
creature.
I was trying. I didn't know if it was like, except like if your like camera was. I don't know if
distorting
you were
giving me
Dutch angles. You were giving me Dutch angles for my cinephiles.
Right. Yeah. I'm actually laying down and I'm cheating, looking like.
Uh-oh, something intense emotionally is happening.
But what I was going to say was, I guess that would be like my one critique, I guess, is that I do think it was intentional. I do think they were, trying to, you know, kind of make this calm a little and then build, like, because it's like resetting second half of the season. But I think the episode itself was a little, usually it's like we have like the small scenes, the bigger scenes, and then the big, set piece at the end, and this kind of was just like the group scene, two person scene, all personal exposition storylines, and then the big scene at the end. It didn't have the same build, but that's okay.
I see. Yeah, I mean, I guess also just for me, usually all the episodes are just there the whole time. It's a crescendo.
Yes,
the whole time. It's
I prefer that, but like you said, it's jazz, and this is the part where, like, you know, the riff dies down and then the drummer, you know, resets the beat slowly, and then, you know, I trust them that we're building to something huge at the end of this
time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We understand jazz.
Yeah, we're we saw La La Land.
Uh-huh.
We saw Whiplash.
Was that the drum one?
Yes. Yeah. And as you can see, we remember it really well.
And I loved it.
I've done a stand up in front of a jazz band one time because
I took jazz as a child.
I did too.
Soft tap.
It's more like alternative music. It's like alternative music, like anything that's not ballet, hip hop. Like, that doesn't have a genre, that's jazz.
They're not coordinated girlies. They're like, oh, we can't fit you in anywhere, so jazz!
Oh, so you did more of, like, a Tina Fey jazz team type jazz.
Jazzercise.
Kind of a, yeah, okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, enough about all that jazz. So then Heather, Bronwyn brings us the news. That Meredith is still not taking responsibility, and in fact says it's Brittany's fault for eavesdropping on her conversation with Lisa while she was wearing headphones.
Yeah.
This enrages Heather, who says, you know, we love them. You know, they're our friends. But until, you know, Meredith and Lisa take responsibility, we can't move forward. So,
right.
You know, majority party leader drives a hard line. And we also get into Bronwyn's story a little. Whitney says, Bronwyn, I can't help but notice you're not wearing your wedding ring. And Bronwyn tells the group, brings it to the group that,
And also Brittany already knows the story. She makes sure to tell the group that Brittany's already aware. They already had the conversation. And I liked that Bronwyn did that because it made her be like, you know what? She's in the know. She's actually part of the group.
Yes, we talked to her before shooting.
Yeah, she's like,
now
Todd's been away. He's been away for a couple of days. You know, he went away for a couple of days after we got back from the boat. I still don't know where they were or how to say it. I keep wanting to say Croatia
Padawan.
Or something. It's Padawan. Not a place. I used to think that's a place. Beautiful country. Is it a country?
I think it's an island.
Is it a city state?
I don't know.
Who owns
We're not good at the geography.
Or jazz.
Or jazz. Better at jazz than geography, I'd say. Anyway, so that this is all because of, you know, what we found out in the last
Todd
episode. Todd looking at ladies on a plane and someone tweeting about it.
You think, do you think there were, like, mail order brides? He looks like he would get one.
I mean,
for the man who is looking at mail order brides. I look at Todd and I'm like, I've seen you somewhere before, and he looks like a lot of the guys on 90 Day Fiance, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
It's just, it's difficult for me, even in my mind's eye, in my imagination, even for the purposes of riffing, to go to a place of 90 Day Fiance because
he just looks like the guys on there, and not the guys you're getting, the guys that are getting others.
But those guys, see, here's the thing. Those guys stress me out so bad.
He stresses me out. Todd stresses me
out. Oh, see, Todd does not stress me out. Todd, I feel like he's in
with
control.
With the sharing and stuff? He's looking sick. I think he's a sicko.
He's a cunty sicko. Diva.
In the words of
is,
he is a sicko. He's sick.
A sicko for serving cunts.
Sicko for maraschinos.
Yeah. He is
a sicko for a maraschino and a lady in a bra. I think that's what he was looking at.
I think that's more likely. Sears catalog.
Sears catalog.
Yeah.
The softer side of Sears.
Now that I
can see. The harder side of Todd.
Okay. So then we move on to Mary is now her church is finally done being renovated by her cousin. The studs that we previously saw earlier in the season poking out of the seats that Mary noticed have been fixed. It's been a two-year process. Mm-hmm. She reminds us, partially, I think, because she got her cousin to do it. And then she's there with Robert Jr. Mm-hmm. talking about the new chapter for the church. And he seems to be in a good place in this scene. And that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, she just asks him about where he was at spiritually. And he talks about it. And I thought it was a nice conversation between the two of them. I didn't feel like Mary was pushing a lot onto him in this scene.
We
have very different feelings about this whole episode.
We really do. Well, I also, it's like, I'm someone in a, you know, like, I did recovery a lot, you know, like AA and stuff. And it's like, it's so clear from this that Mary is not really engaging with AA because she thinks that, like, it's, you know, it's all just a path, which, I mean, I guess it's like essentially the 12 steps are on some level, but it's like, you don't even need that if you have your relationship with God and, like, you know, you need to, like, be helping, like, you know, your fellow addicts find God even more than AA. And it's just like, it's frustrating. It's kind of the same as, like, the Sheena thing, where it's, you know, she was like, you know, doing her own intuitive like pseudoscience version of like addiction help for her loved one when it's like she hasn't educated herself
Yeah, and I guess it comes up because he's talking about like in AA, one of the steps is, you know,
finding a higher power. Yeah, and she instead of like asking more about that, she's like, well, you have your higher power and like, you know, you need to, and like, you know.
She's like, you spread, you know.
Carry the message of like God. And, you know, once people have relapsed, tell them about God. And it's like, you know, it's like, it's really more, that's who she is. That's her agenda. You know, it's like spread the word of God. Well,
that's Christianity.
And that's her job.
I got that a lot.
Oh, me too. Mm-hmm. Just another reason.
Yeah,
like
spreading the gospel.
But he, but she... That's like her, you know, her, what she was born to do. That's like what she believes is her purpose
her
in life.
Thing.
We'll see that at the end.
Yes,
it's like bringing
and, you know,
God
and
to
I think
people.
She thinks that's helpful. And, you know, she just ultimately wants Robert to be happy and healthy. And he does talk about that. A lot of the people that he's met in recovery have since relapsed. And I think her way of like dealing with it, like her personal way, even if it's wrong, is like, you know, God has a plan and God loves everyone. And I think in her mind, that's what to do.
Right. Mm-hmm. I just have some issues with this whole storyline, the way it's framed, etc. Okay, but I don't want to get too much into the darkness of it all. Okay, so then let's move on to John and Lisa.
This is much lighter fare.
Oh, I think it is. Where like, okay, here's my thing with this scene. Lisa is so the big boss over there, and like, John is okay with it, and like, I do think that this was kind of negotiated between them after like John is obviously kind of like embarrassed that cheating is the main storyline for Lisa at the beginning
but
of the season.
Lisa's,
he's like,
you know, she's like, we don't hug as much anymore, and he's like,
yeah,
you're right, we don't. Mm-hmm. And then I think they're having like a little argument about she talked to Henry about something, mm-hmm. their son, and he didn't like it, or I didn't understand a lot of this scene. Honestly, I'll always love Lisa. I know she's a controversial one and she's being like,
no, I love Lisa.
Just because
she's so annoying. That's like, why
I love
you like
her. She's all, as, you know, my baby gorgeous, but mm-hmm. I have to say that is such a jump scare for me when it goes to her confessional look in the cowboy hat. Like every time I see her in the cowboy hat and it's her confessional, I'm like, oh my God.
Oh,
what
see, this is another place.
It's Romeo Cloud.
This is another place where we have a departure where it's like, I don't even blink at the chemo.
I don't know why I'm still on this podcast.
But you know what look gives me a jump scare that I thought you were going to say? When she has the, like, the two braids and the glam where it's like she's sweated off all of her eye makeup. And
I don't
like,
even know what
and,
which one you're talking about.
And she's in the red, like sleeveless. Her like one eye looks bigger than the other and like pointing the other direction because of the way her eyelashes are applied. It's like, it looks like she...
Kyle Richards when she had the smaller eye. Remember that soul scene? Kyle Richards is like, I think one of my eyes is bigger than the other one.
Oh, no. I've repressed a lot of Kyle storylines on Beverly Hills due to, I don't have the capacity.
Yeah, it's right up there. Yeah, it's like Kyle Richards and Mary Cosby with her son are like the same.
But this look is like, her eyes are super dilated. It looks like she got her glam done and then she was like running from Mary Source and through the woods
look.
And then back down.
I don't know this look. This season she's looking like that. I only can remember the cowboy hat.
See, this is, we're on such different pages on this episode, man. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm in airplane mode.
You just have
but
so
that's
much
good.
Going on.
Different strokes for different folks, you know. Okay, it's this one.
No, I don't. I thought she looks good there. I like that look.
When I pull it up, all of the things are called makeup mishap explain. Makeup artists forget her, you know, like, what they're all said. Well, because it's not, I can't see the whole thing. I can only see the...
Oh, that's how you're reading it?
I can only see the first, like, six letters of it.
Why makeup no good?
Yeah. So, that and that's the one people are talking about. But again, it's good to have other perspectives.
Hey, when they stop talking about you, that's when it's bad, baby.
Exactly. So, yeah, so this is, like, a John kind of, like, standing up to Lisa a little bit.
Yeah, by standing up to her, he's just like, yeah, I don't hug
you. You don't listen to me. Yeah, and yeah, I don't hug you. I think he's still agreeing with her.
Even in their fight, he still just agrees with her. Yeah. She's like, you're not as nice to me. You don't hug me as much. We don't spend time together. And he's like, you're right. Yeah. We don't. Yeah. That's how they argue.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. We have a great scene of Jared and Bronwyn, which really seems this is a great scene.
This is great.
This should have been the whole episode.
To me?
That's cinema.
And I know cinema.
I mean, okay, and this also brings us to, why doesn't Brittany have a full snowflake?
I think she has to, but I think Bravo does this sick thing with, like, their most talented women, like what they do with Adriana. She still doesn't have a mojito.
Yeah. They're trying to, well, I think it's like not knowing your worth too. You know, like Adriana really cares about the show. She's doing this for the good of the show.
Well, she's been on since the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. And so she's like, I think she doesn't mind that they pay her dust because her heart is
all in it, you know?
Mm-hmm. She's a servant to the housewives.
I don't know why Brittany's not full housewife yet. Maybe next season.
I hope next season.
Yeah. She deserves, honestly.
Send her snowflake.
She deserves send her snowflake.
I agree.
This whole episode, even though you thought it was a flop, it's about her.
Yeah.
It's the whole episode. Well, minus the Mary stuff.
I will say to circle back to the party, I think what I would have liked, what would have made the party a hit for me is if they let Brittany do a Zooby Zooby Zoo style musical number. There wasn't enough Brittany for me in the party. It was more about the support.
We need her singing and dancing when it's inappropriate.
If you really want her to be happy and for it to be about her, let her sing. It could be a song she wrote.
She says that at the very beginning, too. That's what made the potluck scene so magical when she realizes it's a party for her. She's like, this is exactly what the doctor ordered. Prescription. It's a party about me.
Yes, yes. She's like, I'm always saying, ting, 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 when's it about me? Yeah.
Yeah. And this is just what the doctor ordered.
Yeah. But see, if they'd gotten a second opinion from me, I would say, let her sing. Make her sing.
Take these dolls. Go sing. More work for MGM in the 1920s.
Yeah. And the rest of you, go back to the icebox.
You're fucking cows.
So then the Jared and Brittany scene. This was a great
public park.
Public park. I loved the backdrop. And it didn't really seem park-like. It was more like the woods.
It was like a walking trail.
A walking trail in the woods.
But when she first gets there, Jared is on a park bench. Like a picnic table. He's on a picnic table. Mm-hmm. And he's in a pose. He's like this. He's like posing on the table so he could flex his bicep. Did you notice that?
Oh, yeah.
And he's wearing like a muscle tee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
this was all very. It felt like Jared's audition for the next season of Dirty John.
And they hugged. They hugged for so long. And you know that Lisa was watching that, and she's like, "John doesn't hug me like that." And he's like, "You're right. I don't.
I don't.
I don't."
Yeah. So then they are walking through the hugging, woods. Finish hugging.
They're going into the woods. Musical.
Into the woods, depart even from the trail.
Yeah. They're departing from the trail. Yeah. Departing from the trail.
And the
road less traveled.
So they're trying to, I think this was their scene where they kind of try to explain and get more of a feel of what's going on here. You know, what's a typical afternoon in the life of Jared and Brittany?
It honestly seemed like a typical conversation for them.
Yes.
None of it felt like, oh, we haven't done this before. And in fact, we do this all of the time.
It was very choreographed, these are the lines. This is the, this is what we do.
They knew their spot. Like they knew all their marks. They knew all their marks. And now Brittany exits stage left, or we're further into the woods.
Further into the woods. And I think it's like, it really speaks to the connection where it's like, these are two failed entertainers. Connection. From like, Jared is from, it's in his blood, a family of entertainers.
This is my Katharine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy.
Right. They come back to each other for the work. And now they finally have a stage for the work they've been workshopping. In their nightmare relationship for years.
This is guess who's coming to dinner.
This
is coming to the potluck.
So then Brittany says, the last 2 years, you just can't commit to me. And Jared says, well, it's because you run when it gets difficult. I want something stable. How's that fast going? The 30-day fast. You keep coming back to me. And so then Brittany runs
into the woods. And she's like kind of running into the woods. And then you realize that it's actually not the woods and it is a walking trail, because then you just see people jogging on the other side of the tree.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my. They just see this like woman running into the woods.
And camera.
And she does like her dramatic thing where she like whips her head around. She's like, how could you treat me like this? How could you say those things to me, Jared?
Yeah. And see, and as a jugger, you're not thinking, oh, this is like clearly, we're Salt Lake adjacent. This is a reality show. You're thinking like, this is a student film.
Yeah.
They got, their parents to.
Yeah. Are they doing another Blair Witch project?
Yeah. But this was the better Blair Witch.
This was the better Blair Witch.
So then she's like, Jared, like, you're gaslighting me. Whenever I ask what we are, you don't tell me. So how can you say that I'm not stable?
Yeah, how can you say that I'm not stable? And how can you not be there for me? This is the darkest period in my life.
Yes.
Have such deep trauma. I just need you to support me. Like, whatever happened with her and Meredith on the plane, in spite of like her children not speaking to her, her divorce, her childhood, everything in her life in her 54 years.
This is the worst thing that's ever happened to her.
She has deep rooted trauma from it. And Jared's not listening.
So do you think that this scene was supposed to be about Brittany and like recovering, and Jared was supposed to play the stable partner in it, and he went rogue? Or do you think that like this was always
text, and the producers are like, does he want to meet up? And Brittany's like, yes. And they're like, we're going.
Okay. And you think that it was spontaneous?
Again, this is the jazz episode. We're improvising. Let's see where this takes us.
I'm a little less suspension of disbelief on those two performers.
I just think they're performers.
Having a plan.
He's an Osmond. He's Donnie and Maria Jason.
Yeah, but Donnie and Maria, they're showmen. They're not improvisers. They, have risen.
I'm telling you, but I know, but Jared is too. Like, Jared, he's a performer.
Maybe
this wasn't exactly improvised. I'm not saying, but I'm just saying, I don't think production was involved.
Production wasn't. No, I'm talking about between the two.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm talking about them. Yeah, I'm talking about Jared and Brittany, where it's like, did they plan to like let the world in on a little more on their love story? Or was it supposed to be like, Jared's like, oh yeah, of course I'll support you. And then he flipped it and made it about himself.
I think that they were both like, let's make TV.
Yeah. And that's really all we ask for.
And that's okay if that's what their relationship really is.
I think it is. I think even when the cameras aren't on, they're making TV. I mean, I like cameras. I would be okay with them getting their own spinoff. I'll say that.
Oh my God. I would die.
I would be on board with that. So then Brittany again runs, this time back to the trail.
Back to the walking trail. And out of the woods with me.
And this time, she's very upset, and Jared is pursuing her not to make up, but to continue to Jesse style. It's really reminding me of Jesse of the Valley, kind of it. Haunt and berate her as he slowly walks behind her, and she like tearfully like walks ahead. He's like, you know, you'll be back, basically. Like, oh, you know, sweetheart, you like, if you want to be a girlfriend, you gotta be stable.
Yeah, the waterworks won't work for me this time. And I'm like, this is the guy that made her a unicorn or whatever.
You're hot and you're cold.
But again, we have to remember, in the unicorn, he didn't say, I love you. He just said,
you are loved.
You are loved.
Yeah, yeah. I love, I would just, I want to see
actually,
more.
Actually, he's very Jesse Lawley.
He's and so Jesse Lawley.
I want to see him. I want to see him and Jesse interact.
I really was thinking
if they
that
interacted
too.
At BravoCon.
I was like that. Now this is, they're like the same kind of like.
He could honestly replace Jack.
He should. Well, I don't know if he fits. He's such a Utah staple, you know, but Jesse should come visit, and they can have kind of like an alpha men's preening theater kid meeting of the minds.
Even
like that's such a specific guy.
Chat. Just let
boys chat. Yeah,
yeah, just let him be in the boys chat.
That's the perfect use of Jared. And you know he'll rat too.
Yeah,
you know he's a snitch.
Yeah.
So then we have this scene with Todd and Bronwyn. Bronwyn has let Todd back in the house. Todd starts the scene, though, by already reprimanding Bronwyn like her father for not locking the door. And she's like, Dad, I did lock the door. I just still open. The door's broken. He's like, whatever.
I don't like them together. I don't like Todd. And I don't like her with him. She can still get lots of money from him. I want her to be done with him.
Yeah. I mean,
he's like torturing this woman.
I think I enjoy the dynamic because I find Bronwyn really interesting.
I like her, but she doesn't need him.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's too like, eccentric, and he's so
disproving, disgruntled.
He hates her.
Yeah,
he's probably her mom.
He is her mom in drag.
Yeah,
and it's like that's unethical for him to be, you know, her mom.
You know, your husband shouldn't be your mom.
Yeah, yeah. But there is I do think that like we all love the dynamic at first just because it's fascinating, but it's like, okay, we kind of get what it is now and kind of Bronwyn's relationship with everyone where it's like, she is able to communicate and like, you know, work things through and stand up for herself, but she still has no self-esteem and will continue to accept the behavior time and time again. Like at this point in Salt Lake City, even though I would say she like is such an engaged housewife who really delivers and shows up and like brings, I would say she is below Britney on the totem pole in terms of power dynamics, you know? But I do think it's interesting but painful to where it's like, girl,
why
stand
are you
so
with him?
Yeah, like grow like self-esteem, babe.
He's so like, he hates you.
And I think
he's just not that into you.
This scene was very like her trying to regain some kind of saving face or control where she's like, look, you did this and I said it wasn't okay and I, you know, kicked you out and now we're talking about it and you need to be okay with me talking to other women about it on the show. And he's like,
no,
gives her nothing, doesn't budge. She's like, okay. And then, well, what about, how about instead, you know, we do the open relationship and then I'm in control.
Yeah.
And then like, it's something we're okay with and it's something I'm willing to do. And he's like, I don't want to talk about that either. She like shows up for the negotiating table with him every time and walks away with nothing.
She can't even go get ice cream with this man.
And I think that is probably part of why they're staying together, because you know he is going to wreck her in the divorce. You know, like,
no.
It's gonna be, she's gotta wait until
for so long.
Yeah,
she's just gotta die.
Yeah, and you know, we'll see if she can wait out the clock on that.
Oh,
because it's like the housewives, it's not, I don't see it being like a Heather Gay type vehicle for her where it builds her self-esteem and she feels more empowered. And, you know,
we just see all these people in her life, like
dumping.
Sucking her, yeah, dumping yeah. every, like, her mom and, like, all this stuff with her dad and then now, like, Todd and the, like her daughter's birth family or, like, father and their family. It's just like, God, does anybody like you in your life? Is anybody nice to you?
But I do think it's, like, it's prepared her so much for Housewives where it's, like, she just can get diarrhea sprayed all over her by the other woman all
and
the time.
Just, be like,
just wipe it off and keep going. Yeah.
She's like, I'll just sleep outside.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that that's like, I do feel like a lot of like our type of fans, like student type of fans are like, don't like Bronwyn just because of her being kind of a fan favorite at the beginning. But it's like, I really think that that's, they are undersinging like how, what a interesting psyche she has and how willing to just be degraded she on screen she is and still show up and like get keep fighting, you know. She's like the anti-Lisa.
Like
yes, yes. And I relate to that in some ways, you know. So,
I know, yeah, you do.
Yeah. A masochist. She's like a big glutton for punishment. So then we get to the big scene, the finale scene at Mary's church. So it's like the big opening, the big televised opening. And the ladies who were at the Britney party, the Team Britney ladies, all meet there first. Mm-hmm. And they're unsure whether Lisa and Meredith are coming. That's the big question.
Will they?
Yeah. Is that them parked in the Sprinter van with production outside of, or could it be, I don't know, someone else?
Cameramen and two brunettes.
Yes. Could it be, I don't know, who knows, other, Donnie and Marie, you know, we don't know who it could be. And so then of course, Lisa and Meredith do end up walking up, kind of an awkward, cold greeting. Mm-hmm. And they sit apart from them in the pews. And then Mary makes her triumphant return to the church's stage. She talks about how, you know, she doesn't plan any of her sermons. It really, it's improvised, much like jazz.
God just speaks through her.
And so she talks about her her mother passing, not coming to the funeral, and then being... Not because she wasn't invited.
Yeah. She wasn't invited. This is the sermon.
Yeah. Which I, that I, from a reality TV perspective, like ideal for that to be. Especially
I would go to church all the time.
To hear about Mary.
If
yeah.
this was just the sermon.
Yeah.
I don't think she mentioned the Bible once.
Nope. Just tearfully, vulnerably, you
My
know,
family has
talking about,
me.
Talking about the mystery of what exactly happened after Big Mary died, you know? And it's like very fascinating stuff.
And
Greek
then,
tragedy
and then she does like
type
a,
stuff.
And, you know, she does like a round the room, but not with any members of her church and being like, God will heal you, or, you know, life is going to be okay because God is with you. Nobody in her church hears that. No member hears it. But every single one of her cast members.
Well, they could have not made the edit in all fairness to Mary. But she starts with Bronwyn, which that really got my ass, where it's like Bronwyn is already just weeping because she's in such a bad
She's
place
like,
in her life.
All of these women are just so overcome with emotion seeing Mary up there. They're all crying so much. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on in the church either. I guess they have the heat turned all the way up because it looked cold outside. But inside, everyone is like literally sweating. Every single person, not just a housewife, like everybody in the congregation has a fan and they're fanning themselves.
Yeah. I mean, I think maybe it's like I've only like been to like Black church once, but it was like a mega church. It was like T.D. Jakes's church, and it was fucking just because of the body
the energy,
heat and
yeah,
the energy
just,
and the
so much
sand.
Energy
yeah,
exerted.
It's like
yeah.
Whew. So I'm like, maybe it's that, or maybe it is just that. Like, if it's cold outside, probably they were also had the heat. So it was like all of that combined. I think.
Yeah. It's not a very big church. Like, it's
yeah,
really small,
they're all kind of yeah, which is surprising to me because it's like they make. I'm very curious about her other assets, that this was the remodel was making the church this size. Well, we'll hear about it in the doc. But no, I'm just curious in terms of like, does Mary have to manage those? Like, is she like kind of a businesswoman too? Like, do we not see that administrative side? Like, does Robert Sr. do it? Like, yeah, like I'm so curious.
If he was at the opening, we didn't see him. I don't know where he is these days.
Yeah, I don't either.
At one of their many homes.
Yeah. Do they have an arrangement? I'd love to hear Mary talk.
Yes, they do have an arrangement. Her grandmother willed it.
Yes. Oh, yes. Arranged marriage. Yeah. So they claim. So then, yeah. So first she goes to Bronwyn, and this really illustrates what I'm talking about with Bronwyn, where Bronwyn is just like losing it, I think, harder than anyone else because of what's going on in her own life. And then Mary, it like uses the to try to kind of convert her, where she's like, and you know, you've got this, Bronwyn, because of God. You need to reach out to him. You need to reach out to God. And Bronwyn's just like nodding and crying. And it's like, Bronwyn does not believe in God, but she's like, yes, yes. So like,
yes, yes, so Mary, yes, yes, everything that I've ever
done. Yeah. And it just shows like Mary's ability, you know, to like kind of find the vulnerable and the people who need reassurance.
She does it so great. Yeah. She does it to every single one of the women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like a comedian with crowd work, but instead of like trying to make them laugh, you're trying to make them closer to God.
She's like a Stabby from Come Town with like her
crowd work
for church.
Yeah. I'd love to see more TikToks of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she goes like one by one down the line, you know, Heather, she's like, Heather, you know, you're going to be okay. And Heather just is smiling and nodding. Whitney, you know, and Whitney's deeply moved.
You got everything you need. And Whitney just then really starts crying because her husband has lost her job.
Yeah.
She has lost all of her businesses. They're kind of going broke. And then Mary's like, it's okay.
You got everything you need. Exact message she needed to hear. Mm-hmm. And then she goes to the other side, the two on the other side, Lisa and Meredith. What does she say to Lisa?
I don't remember. I just remember being like,
something about God. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then this is when we go to a very good Lisa confessional.
Lisa's like, it is so hot. Oh my God. I'm sweating.
I feel like I'm dying. I'm literally on fire.
I'm roasting
in here.
Alive.
And then she, you know, she's like, I think you can feel God at any church. Maybe not the church of Satan.
Oh, yeah.
We still donate to them. And the producer's like,
What?
And then Lisa's like, yeah, you know, this Church of Satan, they asked us for tequila. And we're like, okay, you can have it.
I mean, this is the work that we're not recognizing Salt Lake enough for doing this season.
We wouldn't have noticed this, Lauren, if there was so much happening this
exactly.
episode.
Well,
and I'm glad that we did.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. I'm paying tribute to their commitment to exploring all the crazy shit that said that the producer gives the follow-up and is like, I'm sorry, what? And still a lot more questions other than like Vita donates to churches, including the Church of Satan. Why are churches asking for tequila? Yeah.
Are they writing this off?
And that really gets to some deeper questions as well about Vita.
It's like
the mystery of Vita.
This is charitable.
But what it does also give me the idea for is any Dallas Church of Satan satellites, we would love to have you at our Bravo Breakdowns, SLC Live Watches at the Grapevine on Tuesdays. We'll support you if you guys want to donate to us.
Yeah, if you want to donate to us and let us know. Is this like the only way someone can actually procure Vita tequila?
Because it's like, that's the Church of Satan.
You don't see it in stores. I haven't really seen it at any restaurants or bars yet.
I think they might have the answers to Vita, because that's kind of the Church of Satan's thing, is like asking for the same privileges to point out the like the protection of church and how unethical it is, you know, or like trying to do some of the same like religious protection, you know. It's like, it's kind of to point out the unethicalness of other churches. So the fact that they asked for Vita, I don't think it was for like an Anton LaVey party. I think that they might have some answers to some questions on Vita.
Well, Lisa needs, she seems to know them quite well.
Yes, yes. So, okay. So then, Whitney points out, that Lisa, and Meredith are way hotter and, enjoying this less and less, you know, moved by the Holy Spirit and electrified and really visibly wilting in the heat. And she said, just as I suspected, two whores sweating in church. And I usually hate the, you know, pre-written jokes, but I really enjoyed this. Maybe it's because I'm from the South and this is a big expression there, but so yeah, and it seems like the ladies will hopefully not continue to litigate this mystery for the rest of the season. Hopefully Mary's church brought them together, and yeah, and we're on track for another great episode next episode, even if you're like me and thought this was a little flatter. We're ramping back up. All right, guys, we love you. Come to our show at the Grapevine on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. starting December 2nd. We'll watch the episode all together, and we'll have a live Watch What Happens Live episode with Andy Cohen drag. We'll have games, prizes.
Special drinks, like made just for the show for Housewives Salt Lake City. Yeah, it'll be fun.
It'll be great. Okay, we love you guys. Like, subscribe, etc. Mwah.
Bye. Bravo Breakdown.